everything in control.
Nice.
Things are not always in the same position as they were before. And I don't even know what that means. Don't
mean a lot of things.
It does mean a lot of things. Welcome aboard, you people, to the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. It's another day. Who knows if I'm going to make it through this show?
You don't know.
Because we have not only a full 4 hours right here on the app and the web and the interwebs, and of course on CLTV, but we also are unencumbered now. I don't have to play by any of the broadcast rules.
Uh-oh, watch out.
And I may say some things here when it comes especially to... We're going to replay some of Kim Fox's answers.
Today, here on air, with John Williams.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Bertrand jumping in. And Mr. Bertrand, I think at one point...
He played the role of Rokan.
Yes, wanting to actually... rip her head off. At one point, it was like, what? But when Bertrand doesn't do it like that, he goes, what? Like that. You know, it's like,
Steve's normally calm and reserved, so he's
totally
getting amped up. Look out.
Yeah. His face turned red.
I'll bet you that's true. It sounded like it to me. It kind of had that sort of, you can't say that. How dare you say that?
That doesn't seem right.
You could feel the tension in your ears. It just was overwhelming, but I'm glad that they were honest with their questions and just kind of gave it straight to her.
Yeah,
because everyone listening feels the same way.
Right, the city.
All right, this is the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN and CLTV and the World Wide Web. We're recapturing the program on 720 AM right here, and I am. It was supposed to be White Sox baseball today.
Mm-hmm. Just a little bit of rain.
But there's
Kansas City.
Yeah, there's some precip. It's spitting, as the kids like to say, in Kansas City. And we believe that is there a start time? Did they announce a new start time there?
They're hoping for around 4.
4 o'clock. Around 4.
The hope is 4.
4.
Yes.
Why? Because
you can't predict the rain. They're not sure.
It's improving that much at 4. Because when you look at the forecast, it doesn't look great. But all right. We'll see what happens.
They have, you know, MLB has a different take on this.
They do.
Than does Mr. Skilling.
100% chance of rain. They have a different take on that.
I have a thought that Mr. Skilling, when he is on his on at 4 o'clock with us, my sense is that he is going to be on the 7:20 a.m. with us.
Okay.
Because I looked at the radar. I got a little different radar perspective than does Major League Baseball. Don't worry about it.
Well, we'll ask Skilling when we talk to him. What are the chances?
Yeah.
For even tomorrow.
Yeah.
Later today.
Well, it looks even worse tomorrow in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And this is the problem. You know, a lot of people have talked about moving. I sound like the president when I say that.
Many
people are saying we should move the baseball season back to May. And there is some wisdom to that. But then you'd lose all those games. Can't go the other way.
You'd have to shorten the season.
Yeah. You'd have to shorten the season by 30 games or something. Like, kind of in the old days.
Mm-hmm.
Which they're never going to shorten the season.
Which they used to take a horse and buggy to get to the game. That's right. All the teams when Chicago was the farthest, far-flung place that they could go. It was the furthest west you could go in baseball.
The West Coast trip was to Chicago.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what it was. Because all the teams were within like 20 miles of each other, right? They were up and down the Eastern Seaboard. Then you went, oh, I got to go to Pittsburgh. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. How are we going to get there? Or Cleveland. They'd have to do a barnstorming. It would go Pittsburgh to Cleveland to Detroit to Chicago. And damn, were those horses tired.
Oh, gee, I can imagine.
Yeah, this is the earliest they've started in years because they've worked in extra days off during the season, so they had to do this.
Right, they had to do the major. It's part of the players' contract,
yeah,
right?
CBA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll see what happens with the White Sox game. If you're tuning in for the White Sox game, stick with us. We'll let you know as soon as we can get you out to it. If you're tuning in for the dulcet tones of this very radio program, and they have really been dulcet tones. These last couple of days.
Sure.
Really spectacularly sweet. I've never gotten more reaction since I've been at WGN to anything than this. This, the and who knew that Jussie Smollett was going to create a guy that I kind of, I've watched Empire, and I knew who the character was.
Right.
I had no idea what that guy's name was. None.
No, he wasn't on my radar really either. I mean, vaguely recognizable, barely, but this certainly shot him into some sort of fame that I don't know how that's going to work for him, but people know his name. They all know his name. But did you see the mayor made a little bit of news on the Steve Cochran show this morning saying that the city is making plans to sue Smollett to get back all the man hours from the police department and the...
Yeah, send him a bill.
Nearly $200,000 that has been spent trying to investigate what the mayor says is a fake hate crime he staged.
When Smollett gets the bill, is he going to do what I do at the hotel when they hand me the bill? May I have a pen? I'd like to go through this. I don't think you needed that sergeant to oversee that. I'm going to line that out. What in the hell is that?
Right.
This seems
fairly unprecedented.
Yes.
To add to the pile of unprecedentedness.
Yes. It is really the, by far, the dumbest thing I've seen done in Chicago in a long time by a celebrity. Not since Shia LaBeouf tried to tear all of the stuff out of the aisles in the Walgreens on Chicago Avenue and Michigan Avenue.
Yes, I remember that.
Have I seen a celebrity behaving badly that, you know, came to all of our attention?
Right, that you sort of knew you'd find out everything that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you see his attorney was saying that she was doing the rounds again? Tina Glandian, I think, is a surrogate of Garagos, who's a little tied up right now with the co-conspirator and the Avenatti lawsuit. He's tied into that. So he's unable to speak on his behalf.
Oh, God.
So you've got the second in command, Tina Glandian. And
how's she doing?
Well, she was, you know, asked some difficult questions when she did her rounds at, I think, National News today. And he said that, the reason Jesse was out is because he was told to go get eggs at 2 in the morning as part of the nutrition plan. So the brothers would have known that he was out at that time and where he was going because he was told to get eggs for his nutrition plan.
Oh, my God. This is like a six-year-old trying to come up with an explanation for why something's broken in the house.
It's
that ridiculous. Oh, please. Oh, yeah. Well, the brothers would
have
known.
That's her theory.
Yeah. And so the brother... So then why aren't they calling for the prosecution of the brothers?
I don't know. They look at them. I mean, they are saying,
Aren't Jesse Smollett's lawyers calling for the prosecution of the brothers? I'll tell you why. Because if they think that Jesse turned on them, all of this is going to come out.
Right.
This and more. And they're going to re-prosecute Jesse Smollett.
Don't want to make things worse for you, Ro, but the reason why he thought were white initially, she cleared that up for us, too.
Yeah.
Because they could have been wearing makeup, white makeup, during the attack. And there's a picture of one of them dressed as a clown or something wearing white makeup. So to prove that one of them is prone to wear white makeup, there's a picture she produced to show such behaviors.
But he said he couldn't see anything because they were wearing ski masks.
Well, there was white makeup underneath the on top of the ski mask that was peeking out. So this is what she's saying.
And they're like, we're going to go all in on the lie. They're demanding an apology from the city of Chicago and the mayor.
They practiced this in front of a camera. They may have been wearing white makeup because they wanted to appear to be white. That's possible. That's totally possible. But that is not how this happened. Oh, my God.
Here we go.
All right. Is Ben going to join us? What's going to happen here? Ben's going to join us from the WGN-TV newsroom. All right, stay right here, people. We'll be right back. Let's check in with Lauren with the WGN traffic update. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN, CLTV, and the World Wide Web. And when the White Sox start at 4 o'clock, we think today there's rain in Kansas City. You can join us at WGNradio.com or the WGN app if you have it on your phone. You can run that through your car if you like.
Sure.
Lauren explained to us a couple weeks ago how someone can actually do that.
Yeah, sure. Not too hard at all, actually.
Very, very easy to do. And also on TuneIn or any of the other places you find live radio.
through your smart speakers.
Right, exactly. All right, now here he is, Ben Bradley. Ben, don't get me started. Do not get me started. Thank you for dressing up for the show today. Really appreciate it.
You didn't even wear your tie today.
For those of you watching on CLTV.
Yes, we've got a Cubs game on WGN. So no 4 p.m. news today. And I figured since this is radio / CLTV, you could see me in my natural
state. Oh, natural.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, I did shower Shirtless. Today, though.
You did? Well, yeah. He had to. It's Thursday. Yeah. All right, let's get ready for the weekend. All right, let's talk about $130,000 is now what the city of Chicago says.
That's what
Jussie Smollett owes.
$130,000 is the cost estimate for that investigation into Jussie Smollett's claims that he was the victim of a hate crime. The city and the mayor expressing an interest in somehow billing Mr. Smollett for that. I'm not sure how that would work short of taking him to court for this, but police appear to not be ready to kind of let this go away quietly, because City Hall instructed to try to tabulate those costs. Interestingly, I asked Chicago police about their costs a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and you may be surprised to know it takes a while to tabulate, because unlike 99% of workplaces in America today, Chicago police still use kind of paper forms and time cards to tabulate their hours worked, their overtime, etc. So took a while to tabulate it all, but $130,000 is the rough cost estimate from the city.
Have you talked to any legal experts about how this has this been done before? Is this it seems like an unusual thing?
Well, so think about swatting cases. That's kind of a good example of where there is a hoax, where there is a large law enforcement response.
Right.
And in other parts of the country, yes. Police have been able to go after the people who perpetrated that hoax to try to get the money back. Now, in some of those swatting cases, we did a story about 2 years ago. Some of them originate from overseas. Some of them are done by, let's just say people who live in their parents' basements who may not have a lot of time on video games and not a lot of resources.
Are you talking about that 400-pounder who claimed that I was with the Russians?
In Mr. Smollett's case, he obviously has access to more money than the average person. But, it's unclear how far the city's going to take this. The other interesting development just within the last hour comes from the Illinois Prosecutors Bar Association. So this is a group that has representatives from state's attorney's offices from across the state. And mm-hmm. They work on continuing education, setting standards, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They are out with just a two-page blistering statement over Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox's handling of the Smollett case.
Get me that. I'd like to read that on the air.
Yeah, we should read that. And I saw you put out the one from the state's attorneys general, who the National Association.
Yeah, that was last night. That was the National Association of District
slash
State Attorneys.
That one is fascinating.
This is a new one from the Illinois Prosecutors Bar Association that is equally fascinating. It's in your inbox, Rowan, Anna, if you would ever open the emails I send you throughout the day.
You send us emails sometimes.
But I can read it from you a little bit. Among the things that this prosecutors group criticizes Kim Fox for is this kind of head fake on the recusal. They say the state's attorneys kept the case within her office and never actually recused herself as a matter of law. They also say that the state's attorney's office falsely informed the public that the uncontested sealing of the criminal court case was mandatory under Illinois law. They say not true. This group also says the appearance of impropriety is compounded by the fact this case mm-hmm. was not on the regularly scheduled court call, giving people a chance to know it was happening, certainly giving the appearance that it was a rush job. They say there was no reason cited for the emergency nature of the hearing. And interestingly, they say the state's attorney has claimed that this type of diversion program is available to all defendants. It's not a new or unusual practice, but
this is not a diversion program,
right? These statements are plainly misleading, according to this prosecutors group. They said the statement's inaccurate, that this resolution is highly unusual. And if you want to call it a diversion program, central to any diversion program is that the defendant must accept responsibility, which, of course, wasn't part of the deal here.
Right.
They call Kim Fox's handling and statements on this repeatedly misleading and deceptive.
Well, that's the thing. When she kept saying, when she said, I recused myself, I think we all thought of the strict legal definition of when you recuse yourself, your office mm-hmm. is no longer handling this case, and you've handed it off to a special prosecutor, and you're out, essentially. Right. But that's not what happened here.
No, we've got experience with real recusals in this county in the Jason Van Dyke case.
Yes.
That's where a state's attorney from yes. a neighboring county comes in
yes.
and handles the case with yes. his or her own staff.
Correct.
This is a fake recusal.
I'm sorry. Am I getting ahead of myself here? I'm a little excitable about this. Yes, there is an actual rule about recusal. And can I also say something else?
Yes, please.
How would we know that she didn't do anything with it? We have to take her word for it. And her word is no good. And I hate to say that about the Cook County State's Attorney, because her word is no good, because she's misleading us about all the other things. Oh, this is standard. It's not standard. Oh, this is protocol. It's not protocol. Oh, this is a diversion. It's not a diversion.
So, Ro, while you take a moment to breathe into a mm-hmm. brown paper bag, which I know you carry on you at all times,
yeah,
okay. I would love to just take a step back, though, and say that for all of the questions and the surprise and the outrage that Kim Fox's handling of this case has brought about, you know, let's not forget the questionable conduct from the Cook County State's Attorney's Office over the decades. Now, this, and I say that, yes, it's been limited to, you know, a relatively small number of cases here, but, you know, we're getting all worked up over the handling of a celebrity case involving a charge that likely would have never ended with any jail time, when in reality, you know, there are people who have spent decades in prison for crimes they did not commit due to the mishandling of cases in this county.
Why couldn't they mishandle Jussie Smollett then?
Well, that's true, and I think that deserves a lot of scrutiny. I think I've given it scrutiny. I know you have, yeah. Ben. With this program, we've talked about it. But here I just think there are just so many lingering questions about why this happened, and I think if there was political pressure or there are those questions that need to be asked, those are the things that sort of... You need to, in order to have transparency and confirm our belief in the justice system, you need to ask those questions and get satisfactory answers. Instead, we're not getting those.
And that's why transparency is so important on every case, big right. and small, celebrity and ordinary.
Right.
Thank you, Ben. I'm going to wave a flag in back of you as you're wearing your nightclub shirt on television.
I've buttoned up a couple to hide the gold chains. Unlike you, Mr. Khan, I can see you in that monitor.
What? Hold on a second, Ben. Hold on.
No. I apologize to all of our viewers on CLTV.
You called for it, Ben.
How you doing?
It's you.
Hey. How you doing?
We can now see Rose's 1.5 chest hairs.
I see you. I'm like a monkey under here. I just want to point that out.
Oh, gee.
I'll see you over by Tavern a little later on.
Huh? Yeah. I'll meet you over there on Rush Street.
Over by Tavern?
Yeah.
Thursday night, you know.
Why do you just drive around in circles like everyone else?
I do that.
Exactly.
Checking out the things right. everybody
and your
on the...
rented Maserati.
That's exactly what I do. I go and I rent the Camaro and I drive around and around and around.
You've done that, right? You did that once.
All right, I got to go.
All right.
Thank you very much. Yep. Appreciate it. Let's check in now with Kim. She's got the WGN News. It's the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeBlatis.
Yes.
Right here.
How about our toast to Harry, the worldwide toast to Harry Carey last night?
How about
Such
it?
A fun night. Outrageously fun.
Oh, the fun went into the night, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Quite the party team lined up there last night.
Yeah, it ended up working well into the night. I want to thank everybody who came out to that. I also want to thank everybody at Harry Carey's for making that very special. And when we're on the web, we'll tell the story about some of the stories about what happened. Teams split up last night for their parties, which is so rare. I hate when that happens. But it had to occur.
It did.
Yeah. And so we had
callings.
We had commitments. And so it was All right, let's talk right now. Speaking of, I don't understand what's happening to our fair little country here. First of all, we'll get more to the Jussie Smollett stuff coming up a little bit later on. But in Washington today, craziness in the House Intel Committee. where, you know, this Adam Schiff, he was the Republicans wrote a letter asking him to step down. And it seems to me that this is just a lot of, well, you did that last time to Nunez, so we're going to do that now to you, kind of fair play, because Schiff is saying that he believes, do we have some of the audio here, that he believes that there was conspiracy and there was obstruction of justice, and that if we actually ever get the Mueller report for real, not just one guy's four-page letter about it, we'd find that. That's what he's saying. And the Republicans are like, that's wrong. You're calling the president a criminal, which most of them do privately.
You might think it's okay that the National Security Advisor designate secretly conferred with a Russian ambassador about undermining U.S. sanctions. And you might think it's okay he lied about it to the FBI. You might say that's all okay. You might say that's just what you need to do to win. But I don't think it's okay.
Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy was there. He was there,
he
sitting right there.
He definitely was there. You could see him.
There was a moment when I saw a bit of the replay here, mm-hmm. Raja, that looked like you had the expression on your face like, Mommy and Daddy are fighting. Mommy and Daddy are fighting.
Get me out of here.
Why do I have to sit here and listen to this crap? But I do wonder, yeah, it is your duty. And I guess we're paying you for it. Mm-hmm. But what is your take on this? I mean, is this just about, this is just all political grandstanding?
Hey, thanks, Ronan. Yeah, today was a lot of political grandstanding. The hearing was meant to kind of have a discussion about, you know, the Russian threat to America. And unfortunately, it started out with this bit of theatrics. I think one thing I would just, you know, a very, very minor but important clarification. You know, Adam Schiff has not said that he believes that there was a conspiracy or criminal conspiracy. What he's said is that there is evidence of that, but he would defer to Bob Mueller's conclusions with regard to whether it rose to the level of criminal conspiracy. And so I think that that distinction was important. But overall, guys, I think that, geez, you know, we did not want the Barr report. We want the Mueller report. And, you know, 84% of Americans in a recent poll said they want it. So they should fork it over and we should see the underlying findings as well.
But it seems like we're going to get that. And I mean, do you have any reason to believe that William Barr would have mischaracterized anything in this four-page summary? I mean, I know there are devils often than details, but do you feel that there might be something here to sort of please the president? Or is it pretty straight?
Well, I think that the one part that got a lot of people kind of upset was the discussion about the obstruction of justice. Your listeners may have seen that section, but basically he said that Bob Mueller found evidence of obstruction of justice on both sides of that question, I guess. And then he took it upon himself to decide that there was no obstruction of justice, and the reasoning was pretty sparse, let me just put it that way. So people are like, okay, well, let's see the report, let's see the underlying findings. We're relieved that the president is not criminally colluding with the Russians. That's a good thing. But we got to see the report and the underlying findings, and we also have to, you know, defend our country with regard to the
right.
counterintelligence
okay.
measures that
let's
Russia
just start with that, because that's an important piece here. Regardless of the president's behavior or lack thereof, you know, in terms of, you know, bad behavior. But there were certainly people around him that were doing things. I mean, Manafort did give intel, at least proprietary data, to the Russians, right? I mean, he was there are things,
private polling data, yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, there were things that were going on with people around him. Now, you know, did the kids agree to take the meeting with the Russians, and they knew what that meeting was about, and then they concocted a story for why they were in that meeting that wasn't actually true. We know all of that happened. That's not really great behavior. But however you want to look at this, from a criminal standpoint, from a prosecutorial standpoint, which is what these lawyers, you know, Bob Mueller and the rest, are tasked with figuring out. They've mm-hmm. tasked with figuring that out. There's still a consequence, though. I suppose a reputational consequence that happens when, you know, they're involved in these kinds of things. And now the president has to also explain why it is that he's been so, you know, Sakiyepi to, that's a technical term, to Vladimir Putin.
I'm sure that's in the report.
Right.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah.
You brought up a great point, if it's okay.
Yeah.
But that goes to the issue of counterintelligence. So I think most of your listeners probably understand what that is, but counterintelligence is the issue of whether any public officials here in the U.S. have ties with you know, our foreign adversaries, in this case the Russians, that may or may not be criminal in nature but has not been revealed to the public. And so the fact that that is still secret information could be subject to exploitation or leverage or manipulation by the Russians. And, you know, just one really good example is, for instance, Trump Tower Moscow, which apparently was a big project that the Trump Organization was working on with the Russians during 2016 at the very same time that the president swore up and down that he had nothing to do with the Russians. And as you might recall, Michael Cohen, his attorney, was actually convicted of lying to Congress because he misled us as to the time frame of when those negotiations were happening. So the real question on something like that is why would you keep that secret, right? I mean, what's the deal here? And could that be the source of problems going forward for in terms of what you call sucky uppiness?
Yes. Well, there's a lot of sucky uppiness, and it would bang up his reputation, one would think. But then again, the people who love him, the people who hate him, and it doesn't seem to be really moving too much of a difference here. It's interesting to see the polling about the Mueller report, and still 54% believe that the Mueller report it probably indicts him. So that's a weird deal when you think about that, even though, you know, the Bill Barr's letter says it doesn't. So, all right. Well, more on that to come. But yeah. I wonder, as I'm watching this and I'm watching this whole thing play out, Republicans and the president today, right now, he was just standing out in front of the White House. He's going to Michigan. He's going to do his first post-Mueller rally. Can you imagine what that's going to be like tonight? That's going to be a lot of fun. There's a big press corps, and it's interesting. He's kind of walking back and forth in front of the press corps and taking questions and just sort of, you know, he walks away, turns around, like he's almost doing it like the rally, and he's making promises, including, this is interesting, he just says he has countermanded his health and human services people, and they are going to fund Special Olympics.
Okay.
He has just turned around on that, because Betsy DeVos was up on Capitol Hill today, and we played that tape of Dick Durbin asking her about Special Olympics and why'd you pull the funding on that, and she's like, well, we can't fund everything, and now the president just hung her out to dry. No, we're going to fund it. I've told them, and I'm overriding them. That's it. You're done.
It's like, you know, on the flip side of that, it's like him, apparently he kind of overrode the recommendations of his lawyers with regard to the Affordable Care Act lawsuit. They did not want him to step out there and reject the entire law as being unconstitutional, because, you know, millions and millions of people are dependent on Obamacare, including the protections, one way or the other. But he decided to override their judgment and basically instruct his attorneys to tell the appellate court that, yes, we are going to reject the whole thing. And I got to tell you that, you know, we're talking about Russia and so forth, but that's something that gets people really worked up. And, you know, I'm going to be having a town hall meeting in a couple of days. I know that that's going to be, like, you know, one of the first questions that I get. Sure. What do I do if Obamacare goes down?
Right.
That's what everybody is caring about.
It's true. Congressman Rajah, can we get you to weigh in on the president's tweet today about the fact that he's saying the FBI and the DOJ are going to review the Smollett case here in Chicago, obviously a case of local interest, but is that the right course of action here? What do you think?
I don't think so. I mean, I think there's definitely, to say that what happened here was fishy is maybe an understatement. I think that the mayor is correct to send Jesse Smollett a bill for the investigative costs, and I think that whatever mechanisms of oversight here in Illinois that exist to review this seem appropriate, but the president doesn't have any business getting involved. There's so many other issues that we need the Trump administration to be working on, not Jesse Smollett.
Well, hold on. Here's the president.
I think the case in Chicago is an absolute embarrassment to our country. And I have asked that it be, that they look at it. I think that case is an absolute embarrassment to our country, and somebody has to at least take a very good, hard look at it.
Well, though he said that about his political enemies, too. Right. Yeah, I mean, he said, you know, we're going to take a look at all these people. We're going to take a look at Hillary. We're going to take a look at this. And they always say they're going to take a look. They may not. Department, my guess is that Maine Justice in Washington is going to look at this and go, we really don't have much of a leg to stand on here. Unless they can prove it. Unless they want to do a full corruption investigation into the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. But you don't start that after the initial act unless it was already ongoing.
Right. Yeah, right. So. Just on a serious point there, the only thing I can say is this case illustrates how screwed up our criminal justice system is. Mm-hmm. You know, depending on how much money you have or how famous you are, there's a different outcome. And that's just, I think that is a fundamentally, you know, unfair aspect of our
Don't get me started, Congressman.
Please don't.
Please don't.
Oh, no. Oh, you got him started.
All right.
It's your fault.
We're gonna pick up on that on the other side. Out of respect for you and your office, I'm not going to drag you into it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Couldn't get out fast enough.
Yes.
Good. Okay, gotta go.
Dying to get off the phone there.
Okay, gotta go.
I mean, look what you did to him there.
That was like me on trying to get off the phone with my mom. Okay, mom. Okay. All right.
Don't forget your umbrella today. Okay. It might rain.
I gotta go. Gotta go. That's the way he seemed like you in the Intel committee hearing today too. It was sort of like, oh my God, they're mommy and daddy are fighting. We gotta go.
He looked like he had a headache. He really did.
Don't blame him.
Yeah, I got a headache. I'm giving people a headache. All right, let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour in the WGN newsroom?
Roe, the city asking for six figures from Empire actor Jesse Smollett to pay for the investigation into the alleged hate crime.
It is the Roe Con Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Tonight, I want to just, may I mention something here? Tonight, if people are out and about tonight, I'm going to be, I don't know if Kev, we talked about this earlier in the week, I don't know if Kev, anybody else would like to join me tonight? It's an event for USA Cares, which is helps the families of military.
Nice.
Right? And veterans and people who need it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be at On Tour Brewing, which is at 1725 West Hubbard Street in Chicago. A very special occasion tonight. It's going to be music and free food and all that. And a donation at the door if you'd like to make it. Whatever you think is appropriate.
Nice.
Cover your plate, people. Cover your plate.
Right. You at least want to do that.
Right. So that's at On Tour Brewing tonight, 1725 West Hubbard in Chicago, and it's for USA Cares. I think that's
awesome.
That's worthwhile.
That is.
And I don't want nobody telling me that I don't get me started. Don't come out there tonight and start asking me about Jesse Smollett.
No. Off limits conversation.
Because if you start asking me about Jesse Smollett,
you know,
I'm gonna go.
That's the first question you're going to get when you walk in the door.
Yeah, totally. You're going to be like, hey.
Hey, I know you don't want to talk about this, but your thoughts on Jesse Smollett.
Yeah. What do you think?
Oh, God!
You're that talk show guy, right? What do you think about this Smollett thing?
Oh, God! I'm going to actually carry speakers with me and play that. That's good. I'm going to have to set my phone to make that sound if anybody says those words to me. If the word Jesse comes up, or Smollett.
Ro flips the buffet table.
Do you really think that's a proper sound to be playing around potential veterans?
Well, hey. That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. All right.
Think of the veterans.
Thank you. I suppose that's true. But not me, man. I'm good. That's playing in my head all the time. I just don't want veterans to get too close to my head and hear it inside my head, because that's bad. I have so loud in my head's coming out of my ears.
I heard they're starting work on a bunker for you. Are you getting that concerned?
Yes, I get. Yeah, well, I already have one, so don't worry. This is just, we're adding an addition to the bunker. We're doing an outdoor part of the bunker, and the people at Architect are helping me with that. All right, that's coming your way tonight on Tour Brewing, 1725 West Hubbard. It's for USA Cares. I'll be there, and come join me out there. All right, let's now check in with Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN News right now on 720 AM Chicago. Her news brought to you by Joint Relief Institute. Friends, Tom Skilling is joining us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And, you know, for a moment here, Tom, actually the Super Celebrity Satellite from Bradley Place. For a moment here, Tom, brought to us by our very good friends at Permaseal Basement Systems.
Yes.
You know, it feels like summer today, and it made me start thinking about one thing before we get started. I know we're going to have a pneumonia front, but let's not talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. Let's pretend it's going to be summer for the rest of today into tonight.
Uh-huh.
And let's start thinking about, if you were going home tonight, would you want a brand new outdoor space, a brand new deck, for example. Would you
Absolutely.
It's, at this time of year, you get this little burst of warm air. Yeah. You start thinking about it. Gosh, I wish I had one.
It's a no-brainer. The dogs at home have been asking to go out on such a deck.
Right, see? Exactly. Yeah, so now I ask you this. Would you like it for free?
Look, I'll tell you something. Will the sun rise tomorrow morning? Yes.
Yes, of course you want it for free.
Yes, you right? do.
Isn't that
maybe the dumbest question I've ever asked anybody?
I didn't quite know where to go with that.
No.
You can get an absolutely free Architect deck. Architect of Chicagoland will do this. They'll make it out of TimberTech. It's a 12 by 16 foot rectangular deck. Plus, you're also going to get, listen to this, three-piece cushion sectional with a fire pit table from American Sail, their Bella collection.
Wow.
And wait,
there's more.
Done yet.
SantaCon in late March.
No relation.
Uh-huh.
Weber is going to give you the Spirit 2 Series grill.
Get ready.
How's about that, Tom Skilling?
Amazing. Your dogs are going to be very happy when you grill up some steaks for them.
Oh, my gosh. I can see them pulling the thing off the grill right
now. Yeah, right.
The question, Mr. Khan, becomes how in heaven's name do we make this happen?
I'm so glad you asked, Tom.
Good question.
Because all you have to do, it's very simple, but you only have until Sunday to do this.
Oh.
Sunday night at midnight.
Uh-huh.
You've got to get to wgnradio.com/contests.
Wow.
WGNradio.com/contest. When you go there, you're going to see the get decked out for summer promotion. And all you got to do is upload a picture of your outdoor space, whatever it happens to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's contest rules there. They explain the whole thing. But it's just as simple as doing that. And then, boom, you're qualified.
That is cool.
And then let's just see what happens.
That is very.
How about that?
Gosh, what a timely.
Yeah.
Couldn't be better, Tom.
Contest. This is fantastic.
I call it life changing because it really does change your life to have an outdoor space that you want to be on when the weather's nice. You bring people over. You
your
start
coworkers
being friendly
you to
again.
Throw parties.
You pay for great wines for your colleagues to come over and,
right,
and private
and
chefs and stuff.
We do it online. How could that be?
Wait a second. Wait. I just want to say that the private chef and the great wines are not included in this package. I did that for you for your birthday.
You'll want to do that when you have one. You'll be very social. And
that's
have,
amazing. Yeah. I thought you were going to say we had to find the lottery winner up in Wisconsin.
No.
And get them to vouch for us
it's
and
really
cop
simple.
Up some cash.
You don't even have to pay. You know, there's no fee for entry or anything. You just go to WGNradio.com/contests, and then you just sign up.
That's when do we find out who wins this?
It's coming up soon.
Okay. But by Sunday,
don't ask questions.
Play.
Don't ask questions. I don't know the answers.
All right. Well, but by Sunday, you have to have everything
right.
in. Okay.
We've been doing this for 2 weeks, and we just need for this. We just want to let people know this is the last couple of days of this.
Yeah.
So if you haven't uploaded yet, you got to upload.
That is really cool.
That
now,
is.
Now, you can't give us any additional guidance on when we may hear who the winner is?
Because we want to know.
Yeah. I know it's scheduled. I think it's next week or the following week.
All right.
It's soon. Because I got to get this done, right?
You know, there are a lot of questions in this world, Ro. You know, we're wondering when the Mueller report's going to come out. Now we've got to wonder when you're going to tell us when we can win the deck.
I don't know why. Why do I have to tell you all this stuff, Tom? Why?
Yeah.
What did you do that I did?
Nothing.
What did we all do here?
I know.
All right, I got a question for you.
It's exciting, though.
I got another question for you.
Yes.
I need you to you get your radars up in front of you right now?
I do.
Okay.
Because Ro does, too.
Can you? Yeah, I do, too. Right. Is there any way you could look at Kansas City? Yeah. Missouri?
Yeah, let me get my little cursor here. I was looking at the guidance on this. Now, you know, that's interesting. The back edge of this thing, there are a couple of showers still out to the west, but the main area is moving eastward. I looked at some model guidance earlier, mm-hmm. and it looked like the evening was shot. But I'll tell you, you look at this radar, and you can envision some breaks in this rain out there to allow the Sox to get going. So let's keep our fingers crossed on this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So could move out of there.
They're calling for a 5 o'clock first pitch.
Yeah.
And then we'll do the top five at 5 on the interwebs.
Uh-huh.
And then God knows what will happen after that.
Look, I'll tell you, you know, these situations are dynamic. What you see on the radar isn't necessarily what you're going to get in an hour or two. The other stuff can develop. And indeed, the models have been suggesting pretty wet weather. But it does look like there are some breaks coming into that area. And there are showers to the west, and pretty good ones at that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, history has shown they try to play these games, even in these breaks. So let's see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Too bad it had to rain. I
know.
Yeah.
You never like that right in the beginning of the season.
Yeah. But that's what's going on here.
A wedding. It's good luck.
Yeah.
Really?
Now, no, I'm just trying to make it better.
Ms. Lauren Lapka is she's in her full Sox regalia today.
I know, I love it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, what does this consist of? Cap?
No, it's just it's sort of a jersey. It's like it's like a fashion jersey. It's like a ladies' fashion jersey.
This is not a jersey. Well, I mean, you got the old school logo on the jersey.
Yeah, it's a long sleeve T-shirt, right? V-neck T-shirt.
It's kind of got the jersey look.
Yeah.
If you want to say it that way, but it's not. A jersey.
Lauren, you're a dyed-in-the-wool Sox fan?
Look at her.
Are you?
She is very specific. One thing we're learning about Lauren Lapka right now is that she's real good with the specificity.
She's just trying to put the image
strong
in
quality.
Head.
Yeah. But you grew up a Sox fan.
Oh, yeah. From the South Side. Got to represent
See?
The right team.
Yeah. Yeah.
We met Lauren's family last night at the Harry Carey's event at the World
and her
White
best
Coast.
Friend, too, mm-hmm. who was
basically
awesome.
Family.
Yes.
And Lauren is continuing to work with you after this?
Well,
you
know, I got to say.
Hasn't intervened or something?
I got to say, her dad is a huge sports fan.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I can see where Lauren gets it.
He was geeking out so hard. It was hilarious.
Wow.
Because we had a lot of, with Chris Chelios was with us. And
Ryan Dempster,
Ron Kittle. They were the Triumph the Insult comic dog.
Yeah,
Triumph wouldn't leave.
He was having
that
a great time.
Was the most amazing part of it. I got the best picture ever with Triumph, but he,
I love
can
that
you
name,
show it?
Triumph. That's
yeah.
I
know.
Is it obscene?
No, it is obscene. Yeah, and then I ended up having dinner with Triumph, and
was he well behaved at dinner?
No, he eats off of everybody's plate.
See, you don't invite Triumph. To
oh
dinner.
God! After a couple, you know what? What's really funny is after a couple of drinks, what happens to Triumph? Triumph is not exactly.
Does it get worse?
Oh my God! It is not anywhere near what the initial Triumph is. Are you familiar with this, Tom?
Tell me more about
Triumph
this.
The Insult Comic Dog is the creation of Rob Smigel, the great comedian and comedy writer.
I see.
He's the guy at Saturday Night Live who did all of the Saturday TV Funhouse.
Oh, yeah.
And all,
yeah.
Ace and Gary.
Uh-huh.
And all of the different, all the animated stuff.
He's
that
a comedic
they ever did.
Genius. He worked with Conan O'Brien, right? Isn't that where he launched Triumph? I remember it from that show. And then he's on SNL.
Right, and he was on. People will remember he took Triumph to the Westminster Dog Show.
It is hilarious. You've got to look it up. Being a dog lover, you will appreciate it.
I'll look
Tom,
it.
You will
and
love
it's,
it.
It's a dog sock puppet that is an insult comic.
And didn't he tell us last night that was the one he didn't pre-write any jokes for it, and it just sort of flowed, and it is hilarious.
Right. He did. He went to the Westminster show first, and he just did a bit with the Westminster where he did the voices of the dogs, you know, because he did all the voices for the cartoon characters and stuff. He's done a billion things.
Yes,
Michaels. He's the guy that invented super fans. For Saturday Night Live.
Sure.
You know.
Ah, it's so good.
Ditka
really
versus
is.
The 1963 Green Bay Packers. Ditka 93, Packers 20.
And his Chicago accent is so perfect and so funny. They said even though he was more of a writer, behind the scenes guy, they wanted him to be in that particular sketch, right? They thought that he was that good.
Yeah.
So he's just hilarious. But Triumph can be very insulting, as the name will tell you.
Right.
And if he gets close on your face, Tom, I would run. I get scared of him.
Yeah.
Triumph gets dirty as hell.
Oh, yeah. He just goes there.
Dirty as hell. And then, and as it turns out, after Triumph has a couple of vodka sodas, watch out!
You know, my roommate does something with our dog, Maddie. He calls it a naughty Maddie bit. He's got one of those apps where, you know, you can add voice to your dog and the lips move and the eyelids move. And naughty Maddie has a lot to say when she's forced to go outside and do her business in the cold and snow. And she makes no bones about it, and she does get naughty. So it sounds like she would get together and do very well with Triumph.
All right, you look up Triumph the Incel Comic Dog.
I've got to look at this.
I'm going to look up naughty Maddie. Is that anywhere?
No, it's not out there.
You should put it out there.
But I told Sean he ought to put it on, market it, because every time one of these comes in, I scream to everybody, hey, Naughty Maddie has just checked in, and everybody runs over here to the computer to hear what Naughty Maddie has to say.
I see. All right,
so it sounds like Triumph is...
You have a viral sensation on your hands there, Tom.
On gold right there.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I told Sean that, yeah. Well, this is good. I'm going to have to look up Triumph then.
I want to say
him go on Saturday Night Live.
You've seen him on Conan. That bit is from Conan.
I've seen the other bits, though, on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
Very clever.
Yeah, guy's a genius. And so he was, Bonnie Hunt, of course, was with us for most of the evening as well yesterday. And
that's
she
really cool.
was, you know, she comes out and she's just, she's Bonnie from the block. Is what she
totally is.
You know,
yes.
Northwest Side girl.
She hasn't forgotten Chicago. I mean, Chicago is just such a part of her. She's just, she's so lovely.
Wonderful. She is wonderful. I love Bonnie.
Yeah, just absolutely the best.
Yeah.
And Triumph did something bad to her, too.
Oh,
what?
No.
Oh, yeah.
To Bonnie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And, you know, after a couple drinks, she has a few things to say, too.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Drinks and a dog are a bad combination to begin with. You know, those dogs can get a little uppity, all by themselves.
Right. Any dog that ever lived in a fraternity knows exactly what that's about, getting drunk or stoned.
Yeah.
Don't get your dogs drunk or stoned.
No. It's not
right. Cruel. It's wrong.
Cruel.
They don't really enjoy it as much as it appears that they're enjoying it.
I've never seen an inebriated dog. So I'm. And I'm
oh no, it's
glad.
Sad actually.
Yeah,
sad when you see people.
I can't imagine doing that to a little dog.
Hey, very quickly.
Yeah.
Let's find. So there's a. It's when. What time is the temperature going to plummet tonight?
It's doing right now.
Oh no.
No.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we're down 6 at O'Hare in the last hour, and that's just the beginning. But I'm looking at this plot of temperatures. We're 48 now up by Evanston. It's down to 41 up at Waukegan Harbor. 40.
And it was in the 60s before.
Yeah. We were up at 65. So, you know, these pneumonia fronts, the definition of a pneumonia front. By the way, that term was created up at the National Weather Service Forecast Office in Milwaukee back in the 1960s. These folks have quite a track record. They developed the Alberta Clipper designation.
Oh, they're great. They were the best. They're the best.
Yeah.
Explain what's going to happen here, though. 20 degrees down?
Yeah, it'll go down about 15 to 20 degrees from our 65 in a matter of an hour or two. And yet it's still warm. It's 64 at Midway. The southern suburbs just go down the list.
What's the overnight low tonight?
Low tonight will be down around 39.
Oh!
And then where do we get up to tomorrow?
47 tomorrow.
Oh,
that's away from
terrible.
The lake, but in the city and downtown, it'll only be in the low 40s. Believe me, it'll be a whole...
And then, is there snow on Saturday?
Degrees. Yeah.
There is snow on Saturday?
There will be some wet snow, but the temps in the city and along the lake will stay above freezing the whole day, so it's going to be more a nuisance, but you go up in the north and west suburbs, they may lay down enough, it may come down fast enough for a time that we get some of that to accumulate on the grassy surfaces up there, so and away from the lake and the city. So if you go inland, it may stick a little bit. Won't last long, but it may stick a little.
Back in the 60s next week?
Yeah, 60 by Wednesday.
Okay.
And this weekend, do we have nice
Wednesday, 62 Thursday. It turns a little cooler Friday, Saturday. Then we get a string of 60s the following week.
All right,
so
fine.
How about that? And this
excellent.
Is not April Fool's Day Monday yet, so I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Right. We don't believe a thing he says.
on Monday, you know, you can't trust anything that comes out of this mouth.
Yeah,
right?
I know. I'm not sure I believe that whole Naughty Maddie thing either.
Yeah,
All right, thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
Thanks,
Tom. We'll send you some clips.
Love to see it.
Yes, I'll have Sean send you some clips.
Thank you. You do that, and then go watch Triumph the Incel Comic Dog at Westminster.
Yeah, by the way, you'll not be airing what Naughty Maddie has to say.
No.
No, maybe on the web, though. I mean, when we move over to the be, they're going to do the top five five on the internet.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Then there's swears and
that
stuff.
That would be about the only place Naughty Maddie would be allowed to, you know, show her wares.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, God. Yeah, all right. Thank you.
See you guys.
Oh, dear. All right. Thanks. Okay. I just got an image in my head that
it's
I can't get out.
It's probably worse
now
than it really is, yeah, the image in your head.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
No,
I know, Sean. I think it's possible. Yeah,
I think it's that bad.
And I think that Tom. I think at the end of the day,
no, not Tom.
Oh no, I think Tom's got a wicked sense of humor.
No,
I think he does. I think when he goes home at night, mm-hmm, pours that first cocktail, I think he is like, I'll tell you something.
He drinks some like that, whatever, like the cherry sour or something.
Yeah, it's fine. Whatever it is, it's delicious. But he's still gonna go, let me tell you something. Get the dog over here. I'm gonna tell the dog something right now. All right, there you go. Can I check in now with Kim? What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Roe, an Illinois state trooper hit and killed on the side of the road this afternoon.
Coming up, I'm going to play some of the audio from the John Williams Show earlier today, in which Kim Fox, the Cook County State's Attorney, answered some questions. We're going to play her answers. And I'm going to lose my mind. And that's all coming your way after Kim gives you the WGN Newsroom, Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, coming your way in 2 little minutes. Yeah, it's a Roe Conn Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
It is.
We're about 10, 12 minutes away from White Sox baseball right here. We'll continue on the web at WGNradio.com, the WGN app, WGN Radio on TuneIn. You can ask your smart speaker device just to play WGN, mm-hmm, and it'll figure out how to do that. And you can listen to us there, at least as we get through the top five at five and a little point thereafter. And then we're getting ready for Blackhawks hockey as well tonight. So it's really going to be a bit of a collision here, I think, between
Lake
the White Sox
are killing
game.
Me.
It was what?
The league games are killing me.
Yeah. Well, I know.
Pray for our engineers today, I'll just say that.
Oh my God. I can't stay awake.
The engineers are running around.
I know.
Engineers and management are all running around in this little triangle outside of our studio, because it's where the central control brain is for the radio station. And they're all, people are throwing things up in the air.
I know about that.
Ripping things up, and they're calling. They're calling Kansas City, and they're asking, get me Kansas City on the blower.
They're very focused, and a few of them are on the phone, for sure. And now you see someone storming into the office with the other engineers to report some new information. It'll be fine.
There's a clipboard that goes flying across the room. Don't touch that! Don't touch that!
There's a red light going off.
We're going live to Kansas City! Hey,
yeah.
What happened to my guy?
Okay.
All right, here comes Brian. All right.
Okay.
They've even pulled some of our guys out to go stand there and go, where's Kansas City? Is there a thunderstorm?
How's that rain delay?
I want to play something from John Williams earlier today. Had Kim Fox on.
He did.
And he was asking her questions. Mm-hmm. Why, like, what?
Well, you were screaming listening to it.
Right. What in the hell's wrong with you? You know, that would be the question I'd be asking. He was very... I thought John was very journalistic about the way he approached this.
Sure.
And he was polite and respectful.
Professional.
And professional. All of which I would not have been. I was screaming at my radio. And maybe that's, you know, the best kind of radio where you can get interactive by pounding on your dashboard. But here, mm-hmm, I just want to play some of her reactions to some of the more basic questions. All right?
Okay.
Shall we commence?
Why wasn't part of that agreement that he would also apologize to the police or the city of Chicago? I think that would have gone a long way for a lot of people.
I certainly understand that. Again, but to answer the first part of your question, I did not have any control over that.
Oh!
I exited this case on February, I believe it was 13th.
Were you surprised when the terms were revealed to all of us that he didn't have to even apologize?
I don't know about surprise.
How do we know, by the way?
How do we know what?
How do we know that she exited the case? Where's the paperwork on that?
We don't know. I mean, it was still remained within her office. And so, as you were pointing out on the air yesterday, I mean, did she really put a wall around just herself within her office? Hard to do when you're the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Kim, are you disappointed? Do you wish that Jussie had apologized?
You know, I think Jesse knows what he did, and I think what his actions did to the city as a whole, I think would an apology should be forthcoming. I would agree with that.
She had to work her way around to it. I think that was really, well, Jesse knew what he did, but I can't really say what he did, because I'm not allowed to, because I put a wall around myself and also around all of the reality here.
Right.
John Williams steps into the studio.
Oh, he wants
right
to issue a rebuttal, I think.
You son of a razor. So here's my MO, though.
Yeah.
It's the same as yours. Different ways to skin a cat. Really, I just want the answers. I just want information, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So if I thought going all row would work,
no.
Maybe I would.
I'm not criticizing you.
I'm not taking it. I'm just trying to figure out what's the best way to do that.
It's a hard interview because I've seen multiple ones since she started to go on this tour of explaining. And it seems like there's a lot of filibustering going on. There's some misinformation. At first, we all took her at her word at recusal, and then we realized, well, this isn't a recusal in a legal sense of the word, where you give the investigation to another office or a special prosecutor or something like that. It goes out of your office and no longer under your purview. She didn't do that. And so it took a few interviews for that to come out.
But then she said today that, in effect, it was. That is, she said that she knew as much about the case. All of her information she was getting from the Tribune and WGN Radio, for instance, right? That nobody in the office was telling her anything. Now, should I have called her a liar there?
I don't believe her. I mean, I don't know how you want to handle that. I don't know. If it were me, she's not coming out with me. So, because she knows she's not going to get the same sort of the treatment that she's gotten everywhere else, right?
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, don't we all just want to get the information?
We want to get her side of it, and that's what we got. That's what you got. You got her answers to all this. I just don't happen to think any of those answers. None of those answers were, as I mentioned to you earlier on your show, that none of those answers made me feel better. There was nothing that she said.
Okay, but assuming she was telling the truth, what are you going to do about that?
Well, but there's a problem. There's some of the things that she said are provably false. This recuse, she did not recuse herself technically.
Right, but I mean, but she said in effect she did, right? So maybe
she's
lying.
But she'd have to explain that.
Maybe
she has to explain that to me. I would like her to explain that. I'd like to explain what she means by recusal. So she put a wall around herself. That is not a recusal.
Yeah.
How do we know for sure she had no other contact? And then it would just be on her word, right?
Yeah,
when she was already telling us she recused herself, which to me loses her credibility. She lost her credibility when she said that, when she used that term. If she had just said, listen, I stepped away. If all she ever said was, I stepped away, not I recused myself, because that's a technical term. That's a legal term.
I was shocked that she used it.
If everything's on the up and up, you don't have to parse words. You don't have to do it this way. I mean, when she was asked before, not with your interview, but before, why was this sealed? Well, I didn't ask for it to be sealed. Okay, then it came out only after that she could have objected to that, and they could have, and then after police were, her office could have stopped calling the police department to say, stop putting out information because it's sealed. But I was obvious that that was important to them.
Well, even before we get to all of that, how did they, when she said that this is the way it always goes, that this is very standard, it is not standard. And I will say this, too, that the attorney for Jesse Smollett, Patricia Holmes, she said this is very standard in these cases. Now, Patricia Holmes is a former county prosecutor, a former U.S. Assistant U.S. Attorney, U.S. Attorney. She is a former judge. She knows this is not standard.
But she's a defense attorney. It's different than being the state's attorney that we pay her salary and she answers to us.
Here's the point. She used the exact same words as the state's attorney.
Oh.
That troubles me.
Mm. Which words are you talking about?
I'm saying that, you know, this is very standard.
Oh, yeah.
So suspicion, and this is just a suspicion, I can't prove this, is that there was a conversation, there was a coordination about what the messaging was going to be here. And if that's the case, I would like to see the documentation on that.
You mean between Fox and McGett?
Yes, between the state's attorney's office and the accused. Because that doesn't happen every day either.
No, but I would like to hear Joe McGett's position on this now, too, because she said, well, the decision not to insist on an apology.
all of the things that people are ticked about, just starting there, were his decisions. Because remember, she was quote-unquote recused. She didn't know it, but she was not pulling the strings on this. Believe it or not, that's what she says.
Right.
Call her a liar if you want. That's all you got to work with. She says McGahn was calling the strings on this, and that she's not unhappy with his decision to execute the case the way she did.
Okay, well, let's play one more cut from your show earlier. This is all up for podcast, right?
This will be me of me.
No, that's okay. I hate it too. But let's do this, and you can listen to this right now. You can listen to the whole interview. It's up at WGNRadio.com. Here you go.
Are you satisfied the fact that Superintendent Johnson seemed to be blindsided by this?
Listen, I've spoken to Superintendent Johnson a number of times since this decision was made, and certainly expressed to him that traditionally this is not the method in which our offices communicate with one another. But I also want to be clear, you know, Joe McGahn made the decision based on the facts and the law, and it doesn't behoove me to attack his decision-making.
Okay. Fine. You can make a decision to let the guy go, right? To say that, to let McGahn could make the decision to not to cut a deal so that Jussie Smollett doesn't do jail time, but he, you know, pays a fine, does some community service, whatever it happens to be, goes and gets help. He probably needs it, right? I mean, if you're in, you know, sound mind and body, you don't necessarily do this kind of a thing. You could do all of that, but you do not do a nolle prosecution, a nolle pros. Prosequi is actually technically the term. You don't do that. A nolle pros is the sort of thing that lawyers do, that prosecutors do, when their case is falling apart. When the witnesses go away, or that some other piece of evidence comes out that is exonerating, and they say, hey, judge, we're not prosecuting. In other cases like this, you go, all right, here's what we're going to do. We'll bump it down to a misdemeanor, so it's not a felony, and we'll, you know, you'll go up for 5 years probation, do all these other things, you know, pay the money, do the thing. 5 years probation, 2 years probation, whatever it is. And if you're fine, then they take it off your record. Not we expunge it within 15 seconds, which is what they're trying to do. Never happens. So there was a deal.
No guilty plea.
There was some form of a deal. And I got to get to White Sox baseball here. But there was some form of a deal that nobody else gets. And it bothers me. And I want to know why. And I want to know why it was that Kim Fox did this. And it has not been properly... Or that the state attorney's office did it. It's not Kim Fox, and who did it? Somebody else did it. I would like to know the answer to that. That's just it. Hey, it's just me. I'm sorry. Sorry to get so anxious about this. I'll get more anxious about it on the World Wide Web. Join us at WGNRadio.com or tell your smart speaker to find WGN Radio right now or use the WGN app, because White Sox baseball is on next.
We're back. Okay.
We've always been on the web. Now we're not on the radio.
This is getting really confusing.
But there's no sense in saying we're not on the radio, because we're not on the radio to say that to the people that we're not on the radio to.
Right. But we are actually on the web, aren't we?
Yes.
Is that what we're doing right
yes.
now?
Yes. All right. WGNRadio.com.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, you for finding John. Us there.
Exactly. Right. What else do you want to say there?
I think about this a lot. Like, who am I talking to now, and in what room are we? We're now on the web.
Yeah, okay, right. So what else do you want to say about this?
No. I appreciate your playing back segments of our interview with Kim Fox. And when I heard it, I thought, oh, I'll pop in there, because it sounded like you were analyzing what we did and how we did it. And I think that's fair game. I think you should.
Yeah, that's not what I'm doing. I'm analyzing her answers.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that I don't mind, Ro, you analyzing also how we handled it, because should we have screamed at her some more, or should we have called her a liar?
That's not who you are.
It is not. But also, I would have done that if I'd thought that would have been more effective. No, maybe it would. Maybe sometimes
have you
just
done that?
Scream at
him. You think of a time when John Williams, your multiple decade career, have ever like lost your.
I used to be that guy more, and I wasn't very good at it, and I also didn't think it didn't work for me. Like, I'd go, oh, that felt so good. I'd go back and listen to the tapes, and I go, oh, this isn't as good as it felt. Yeah. It doesn't sound. But again, I want to hear the Kim Fox Rokan interview, because I think it would go differently.
That won't happen.
And maybe it would be more productive. Maybe it would have been more productive.
Trust me, her people have not reached out to us and have not responded.
As Larry King says, you get more flies with honey, Ro.
Right, that's true. I mean, Larry King would have done. Larry King would have actually talked to her about a musical.
First of all, you look great.
How was the Oscars party? Because she did go to one.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's the other piece of this. And I just want to pick up on what we were just saying. I want an answer from Kim Fox as to how this all happened. Because at the end of the day, she's still responsible for it.
I know that, Ro, but I think what you want is something you can't get. You want an answer that makes you happy. And you want an answer that validates your preconceived notions. Or you want an answer where
I want her to lie so that we can get... Yeah.
I know that. I think that's what you think she's doing to a lot of these interviews is she's flat out lying.
Yes.
Want her to admit that. And that ain't going
to happen. No, I don't want her to admit it. I want her to go on record, say these things, and then have them be disproven. Because I'm going to tell you right now, she has made enemies inside her own office in a crazy way. Okay. You see the dysfunction at the White House and all these leaks that come out and investigations, and they go, oh, it's the Democrats out to get us. Most of the time, it's actually from inside. The call is coming from inside the House, and that call is coming from inside that House. She has hung people out to dry, the state's attorney here has. And there are people who are not happy about it.
She said on this radio station, on our interview today, that early in February, she recused herself, that maybe not technically, but essentially, she quit calling the shots.
Mm-hmm.
You guys don't believe that, do you?
Well, no, she didn't. She didn't officially recuse herself.
I know that.
Which, in the way she should have done, given the contact that had occurred.
I know that, but still, Anna, she said, though, okay, if I didn't do it technically, I did it in effect. I did not know about or make any... I didn't tell them... anything.
I think given the circumstances and even the text messages that are already public and believing that there might be more out there that are not public, that there's enough there to say we can no longer handle this case.
So if she's lying about this stuff then, the way they executed the case, what should happen?
She's misrepresenting what it is, trying to hope. This is one of the problems I'm finding with politicians. It's always been the case, but it's so obvious now. They are so underestimating their audience. They're so assuming that we are stupid and we don't pay attention and we're not going to. And it is up to people in our position, the people who have the microphones that they come on the shows of, where they talk to, whether it's a print reporter or a television reporter or whatever it is up to us to stand up and say and represent the constituency of people who actually do know better. They just figure they're not going to know better. And I'm going to tell you, the other piece of this, there's a lot of people who have called me who have said, listen, this is all about the mayoral election. And that this is really about, this is a Hail Mary pass by Tony Preckwinkle, because Kim Fox is Tony Preckwinkle's hand-picked state's attorney. He used to be Tony's chief of staff.
Yeah.
And that this is somehow a move to make the police look bad. Now, this is just political speculation, that it's a way to make the police look bad and to make the... get people animated specifically in the black community that cops are out to make black people look bad. And this
so
is
this
another
is
case
Kim Fox
of this.
Doing Preckwinkle a favor.
Yes.
And how'd that work out for him?
I don't. Well, I mean,
think
that's again.
Too much.
That's
there's too much out there.
Well,
I mean,
that's a lot.
Well, that's what they're. That I mean, just these are political operatives are calling me and saying that's exactly what this is. Now that may be the sort of thing they would want to do. But I think the idea is that if you could turn it around, if there's no other explanation, I would say, I would posit this. There's no other explanation for why they didn't get him to admit culpability. Doesn't have to admit criminal guilt. He could admit culpability. He could say he's sorry. That could be part, and that should be, and that in every single one of these diversions, they talk about diversions. That's what they get them to do.
But that's the question. Was it political favors? Was it because he's a celebrity and he got different treatment? Is this not equal justice because of all these reasons that a lot of people believe that this he got special treatment? I'd like to know. I think that's
important.
That's
where the recusal's working so well for, too, because she said this is Joe Maggott's call. She didn't, this is the...
I want to hear from Joe Maggott.
I know. Well, now I got into another interview. I thought I already had the interview.
He said it wasn't an exoneration in his interview. He's not off the hook. But yet, that's what Jesse...
Why didn't he apologize? But why did you make him apologize?
Maggott could have at least said, give us the apology. Damn, that would have helped. I mean, a lot of this still sucks, but that would have helped.
You're treating this as though it's like a human exchange. It's not. This is a legal exchange. These are lawyers who are going to cobble together a solution to this that is going to be entered into law, or in this case, not entered into law, right?
Wiped clean from the record, right, which it already has been.
Come out better with that. The city would have looked better. State's attorney would have looked better. People in Chicago would have been better. Smollett would have looked better if he owned it. If he would have just said, I'm sorry.
This is not. The girl. She brought up to you the girl who stabbed herself in downtown Chicago and claimed that she had been attacked, and that this is the similar kind of situation. It is not. And it is not for a couple of different reasons. As you point out, she had some, the police said that she was mentally ill at the time, and they've handed her over to a hospital, and then they're just going to drop it that way. Okay, fine. That's all, you know, the other big, the real practical reason is that no one knows, you know, that very few people heard that story. It's not a big deal. Yeah. Jussie Smollett dragged this city for weeks through the international press. As a that he was racially motivated, racially and sexual orientation motivation for his attack in the hotel district of downtown Chicago, which the city is very sensitive to. It's like if you attack a body, like in the spinal cord, right? The body's going to try to react as much as it can, because if the downtown part of the city doesn't work, the whole city becomes Detroit overnight. That's too mean to say about Detroit, but it becomes, I mean, we literally, it would be ruinous to the city if the 52 million people who come here every year stopped coming here.
If they thought, oh my God, even the nice area where the hotels are.
Right.
I mean, it's right there.
Right.
We can point to it from where we are right now.
Right. And that's the point.
Not safe.
It was a way of piling on the errors of the police department in the past. It was a way of fanning the flames of racial tensions in a city.
And then on his way out the door, he says it today. He says, no, Rahm Emanuel and the chief of police owe me an apology. That's Smollett today.
And
yeah.
They
won't let it go.
They just send him a bill for $130,106.
Isn't that the point, though? He's going to go. He's going to go out. He's going to do national and international press, and he's going to continue to tell his side of the story. Because Chicago isn't going to get the who's going to speak for Chicago, who's going to step up and fight this press war. We live in a world where the press war is the entire way. It doesn't matter. You can lie, you can misrepresent yourself, you can do whatever you want, say whatever you want. You can, the big lie principle, just get up and say whatever you want, and if you stick to it long enough, you say it loud enough, you say it enough times, you get enough people to believe you, and then they get another group of people doesn't, and that's where you have this civil conflict that we find ourselves in every single day. And I'm sorry, there is truth. This guy did this. It's a hoax. He perpetrated the hoax. We know it to be fact. And if he goes out and says, no, I didn't, he goes out to L.A. and he's doing Entertainment Tonight, and there's a bunch of pretty people interviewing him about pretty things, and he goes, no, I didn't. Then around the nation, they go, oh, my God, look what Chicago did to that guy.
So what do you think they think in L.A.?
I think they're you're seeing it now. You're hearing, you watch television,
yeah.
You're starting to see it. Well, what? Oh, that Jussie Smollett, that was a bad time there in Chicago. Who knows what? It went from Jussie Smollett did it to, oh, maybe we don't know.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear that, because I would like to think people, I know we're close to it here.
We're very close.
But I think anybody who goes, wait a minute, just stop. What happened?
Right.
Seriously?
Right, there's too much there.
They're not going to believe.
But people aren't going to think, imagine this happened in Miami. Right, and you're like, you're not thinking about Miami. No, I mean, if you, it's like, okay, whatever, and then all of a sudden the guy's free. You just know the bullet points of it. The guy's free. He's done. He's you know, working again, and he still sticks by his story that nothing happened. You go, oh man, maybe Miami does suck. Right? That's the great crime, and that our own Cook County State's Attorney's office. She recused herself, so then we're going to just hand it to maggots. It's maggots' problem.
Well, I hope the feds get involved. I really do. I mean, you seem reporting to that effect that they're going to take over and take a look at what's happening in
Donald
her
Trump's
office,
you know,
but
what?
Also about him with his potential federal charges.
Okay, but you see now when they do that, mm-hmm. I'm with Rahm Emanuel on this. I can't believe I'm agreeing with Rahm Emanuel so many times on his way out. If he'd only been like this when he was in, Jussie Smollett gets to go, look, Donald Trump's coming after me. Because Trump is personally coming after him. Look at this. And that's going to have resonance.
Yeah. You might be right.
I called Ed Siskel's office, the corporate counsel for the city, to ask him if he'd come on tomorrow. So why don't you call in? In case, you know, we're not tough enough on him. But actually, the city was suing. This is about the city suit now, as of this afternoon, against Smollett to at least recoup their costs.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
$130,000, right?
Yeah, it's not a lot, but if it makes somebody feel better.
And you have an Illinois state official introducing a bill to say that they will withhold tax credits for any production that hires Jussie Smollett. I don't know if that'll go forward, but there are significant
credits. Isn't that, do we want to do that? Do we want to do the tit for tat now?
We really don't want Empire to go out of town, I don't think. So I guess there needs to be some deal cut there, but that's where it stands.
Right. Also, guys, if people want to see the demand letter in full, we have it posted on our website at WGNradio.com.
Well, you're already on WGNradio.com. Just look at it right there.
Go right to it.
I guess that's right. Okay, so I'm back on the radio tomorrow. Thank you guys for letting me pop in.
And what time is the corp council on?
Haven't heard yet.
Okay.
That's my... we petitioned.
Sometime from 1 to 3 p.m.
Thank you very much.
You're
for
welcome.
That, man.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
All right. Let's do this. Let's have Kim Gordon do the WGN news on WGN Everywhere. Atlantis, and it's web time, as
we're
we like
streaming.
To call it. Yes, we're on the stream exclusively, so you might hear things that you wouldn't normally hear, but we're going to do the top five anyway.
Okay, good.
Right?
People look forward to that.
Yes, and we got and the kids have stepped into the studio here. You've got Lauren Lapka, who, by the way, it was great meeting your family last night. They're very sweet people. Your father is an intense fan of sports. That's all I'm going
to
say.
It was hilarious because I saw him taking a picture. Actually, Roper was like, oh, your dad wants to take a picture. I was like, you know, it's funny. He looks like he's taking a picture of you and me. He's just trying to get a picture of Chelios. He really was because he was in the foreground.
I was having a conversation with your dad at the bar, and all of a sudden his face sort of went blank, and I was like, okay, he's clearly distracted, and I turned around, and he was just dialed in on Chris Chelios right behind me. So
he's got, like, his book. He's got everything. Yeah. He's such a fanboy. It's funny. But I'm glad he could be there because he definitely had a great time. They all had a great time, so I was happy.
And Chelly seemed really interested in what was going on there.
He's very engaged in all things.
I just think he's a little more reserved.
I like when Chelly yelled at me about talking about the Hawks, and it was, all right, let's stop talking about the Hawks, let's talk about Harry.
Which is the opposite of what most hockey players would do. It's like you would transition him to baseball, you would think he'd want to talk about hockey forever, but, you know, he's a fan. Sports.
Yeah, he's got that hockey look to him. He's the most hockey-looking guy.
Absolutely.
Right. And he's an American.
That's true.
You know, generally that's like a Canadian look. Right.
Isn't he a Chicagoan guy?
Yeah,
he's like Orland Park. Right.
He's
always wearing all black. Just got that intimidating look to him.
Right. Spends a lot of time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Spends a lot of time in L.A. That's what they do there.
Yes.
Tan people in black.
I want to say that afterwards there was a conversation. I did overhear this conversation of the people who live in L.A. and all the people who are on the show essentially do live in L.A.
Uh-huh.
And they got into a fight over Malibu versus Santa Monica. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh,
shut up.
Just reinforce the stereotype.
Shut up.
Who's your plastic surgeon?
Give me your plastic surgeon power rankings.
The eating mirror is the funny part. You just can't keep up with what they eat. This is an entirely different diet. It's like you go to another planet.
Yeah, very macrobiotic. All right, should we do this? Should we open up? Let's do that.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show. Let's go. 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Taplantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
The Trump State Department deputy spokesman Robert Palladino bent himself into a pretzel trying to avoid saying that Kim Jong-un was responsible for Otto Warmbier's death. This came up today. This is a big deal in Washington today because Mike Pompeo was up in front of a congressional hearing today being asked about North Korea and Kim Jong-un and all that stuff. And he didn't really want to go there. We have Palladino. All right, let's listen to this is the spokesman, right? Okay, we get the spokesman first. Listen to this. And again, it's a very simple question. Kim Jong-un responsible for Otto Warmbier?
He was asked if Kim Jong-un is responsible for the death of Otto Warmbier. He wouldn't answer, and he said it was a political football. Why?
I think we've been on, we've spoken out about these, that tragic incident repeatedly and often from the United States government. There's nothing to add beyond that at this point. And so I wouldn't go beyond what the secretary said yesterday.
Mm-hmm. What? I don't think I have to. I don't know. I did. What was the question again? What was it?
Is it Kim Fox sitting down for an interview?
We're also very much now in a time of trying to move forward. And this is a matter of, nuclear proliferation. And it's something that we are focused on to protect the American people.
Just say it.
And for that reason, it's important for us to remain engaged on these issues and attempting to move this forward.
It is the same cadence I have used many a time when I was asked.
To you?
When I was asked.
So where were you last night?
Exactly. Tell me again, who are you with? I was. See, the thing is, what's really important is what we're having for breakfast.
Sure.
That's really the important. Let's move forward. That was where I was or wasn't.
Isn't it more of a word salad, really? It's like, so we started out here, and I just, kind of met this guy. Well, there was like a lot going on. And then, oh my God, we had this great drinks, and then these diversions, and then like you're trying to circle
the
back.
Ability to dance around the subject, to a fine line to where you're not, but you are. It's impressive.
It is. I think you could do that well, Ro.
Better than this guy.
We have been explicit in our human rights report. We've spoken out about these topics often. The secretary's spoken about as well, and I'm not going to go beyond that at this point.
I told you that I am fully committed to whatever it is that we are doing here. I am being indignant about it. Now, where are we going to breakfast? What he's doing there is he doesn't want to say these words. He doesn't want to say, hey, cut it out. We're trying not to tick off, I'm sorry, we're on the web. We're trying not to piss off Kim Jong-un. Don't ask that question anymore. That's what he wants to say.
That's true.
Don't say that because if I say it, then Pompeo's going to get mad at me, and then Trump's going to get mad at Pompeo, and then they're going to fire me if I say this because we are trying to play nice with the nutbag over there. And so the only way to do that is to treat him like we treat the president. We just tell him a bunch of nice things about himself. And that's it. That is so effed up. I mean, it is just... How did we end up like this? Then the president goes, oh, it's so easy, don't worry about it. So I can fix this in a heartbeat. This is his way of fixing it, is sucking up to this guy who is, he killed his uncle with an anti-aircraft gun and then had his brother snuffed out in an airport, not in North Korea. I mean, come on.
But at least he's fixing the problem better than anyone has ever fixed a problem before, ever.
Right. For many years, everybody else, all the other presidents, the Bushes, the guy that, the guy cheating on his way, Hillary's husband, and then the black guy, they all screwed this thing up. That is basically what he says. That's it in his head all the time. That's the way he's saying it. Yeah. Especially the black guy. Look at what he did with Iran. Did you see what the Democrats... This is really interesting. What the Democrats are doing, they're trolling. They're trolling the Republicans by saying, can you imagine if Barack Obama had helped the Iranian president or told the Iranian president how great he is? That he's a great... Imagine how you people would have reacted.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay, moving on. I still don't like the black guy. What was his name?
Number four.
All right, now this is going to drive me crazy. Here's the president, speaking of the president, weighing in on the Jussie Smollett situation.
I think the case in Chicago is an absolute embarrassment to our country. And I have asked that it be... that they look at it. I think that case is an absolute embarrassment to our country, and somebody has to at least take a very good, hard look at it.
That's his answer to everything. We're going to take a look at it. We're going to look at it. We're going to look at what the black guy did. I mean, the guy who was president.
Solet, right?
Yeah.
Solet.
Whatever what his name is, I don't care. Here's the point. He was very embarrassing to our country. Imagine if Kim Jong-un finds out about this. That we let people go as opposed to blow them up with anti-aircraft equipment. Shut up. This is that. So Rahm Emanuel, you know, Rahm was on with Steve Cochran
this morning. It was a great interview.
And he would like the president to mind his own business.
I just will say, you know, look, in my own view, President Trump, just sit this one out. Okay? The fact is, you're a guy, I take umbrage at the fact that you have a person sitting in the Oval Office who drew a moral equivalency between in Virginia between those who were fighting bigotry and those who were perpetuating bigotry.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And he went, you know, also off of Cochran show, he went out to a press conference. He said the same thing. And he was like, listen, this is one of the things that Smollett did. He's trying to take advantage of Smollett. Right. Part of his crime here, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, not a crime, because you can sue me for calling it a crime, because it's not a crime, because it's been completely whitewashed.
Except he wasn't exonerated, according to the state's attorney's office.
But he wasn't.
The whole thing
But now it's been smudged out. But we don't know who the guy is.
And he's demanding an apology from the police officers.
But don't bother looking at the record.
Yes. Right. He's apologized. They apologized to me. He's learned a lot. Anyway, the point is...
Yeah, there's a point.
The point is that he said that it's the... The temperament now in the country is based on what the president has sort of led us into in terms of his temperament and his behavior and his rhetoric is now created an environment that Jesse Smollett thought he could take advantage of. Right? So it's like, it's an a-hole on a-hole crime here is basically what this is. Or as a police like to call it, mutual combatants. All right, hold on, but wait. Then on John Williams today, Kim Fox appeared, and she was asked, what if the federal government wants to get involved here?
Absolutely not. I have no reason to believe that there was anything that was done inappropriately here.
Oh my God.
In this case, from the moment that I talked to the victim's family, when he was deemed a victim, the moment that it became clear, and I do it all the time, I talk to victims and their families all the time. The moment that it became clear that this investigation was shifting, I made steps by creating a wall with our first ever chief ethics officer who came to us directly from the U.S. Attorney's Office to ensure that the integrity of this investigation would remain solid. I stand behind
that. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Because we had a really integrity-filled outcome there. That outcome, it just screams integrity.
I still don't understand, too, how she clings to is the moment I knew that he was not a victim, but potentially the one who was the accused in this case, I think it was fairly common knowledge that there was some evidence that charges that things were not adding up right away, even though police pursued him as a victim. She would have known.
The cops kept saying for 2 weeks that he was a victim because they're waiting for those morons to get back from Nigeria.
But she also would have known in her position of the evidence that was
right.
That was
That's
not
the point.
Adding up. So in order for her to cling to this at this late stage in the investigation, she had no idea that he was a potentially not just a victim, but had some involvement, just seems false.
2 weeks in, two days in, they knew. And then they had to wait because they knew that the Usandero brothers had tickets to come back to the United States, and they couldn't do anything until they got them, wrapped them up, and said, "Hey, what really happened here?" Because they have all this videotape of the three of them walking around,
right,
pointing at cameras. All right, hold on, wait. There's more. I'm losing my mind here. Is the car wagon out yet?
It's Friday. That's tomorrow.
Oh God. Now she was asked again by John. Well, what did happen that night?
I'm not in a position to speculate as to what happens. If I were in a courtroom, there'd be an objection calling for speculation. So the lawyer and me cannot speculate as to what happened that night.
Oh, my God. Hold on a second. Hold on. You're not the lawyer anymore. You're the Cook County State's attorney. People tell the stories. That's what happens. Have you ever watched Dateline? It's always the state attorney comes out and says, "This is what happened." Right? They go, "Well, you know, in this case back in 1978, the husband definitely murdered the wife." That's what you do on Dateline.
Right.
It's all over. She can talk about it. She exonerated the guy. He's fine. He's gone. Or he thinks he's exonerated. Right, and they're expunging,
but no one knows.
Right now they're trying to find VHS tapes and throw them into a fireplace. I mean, they're doing whatever they can do here.
I am so out of my mind. And then, wait, hold on. Steve Bertrand, listen to this.
I mean, the police superintendent says he did it. The mayor certainly says he did it.
The brother's attorney said they did it.
Your first deputy says he did it.
You asked me what happened that night, and when what did it means, I can't tell you what that means.
Let's do what you thought.
And I'm not in a position to speculate about that.
Yes, you are! Oh, you're in the best position!
She's in the most ideal position!
Right. She knows!
Like, the position!
Right! Well, now that it's over, she has to know what happened. I still don't want to know. You know what? Now, the only reason that people don't want to know what happened is so that they can say they don't know what happened when they get called, when their ass gets dragged into court. Now I'm with Donald Trump on this. It's the worst time ever!
She's seen the mountains of evidence that the police have, of which we know very little, a small percentage of. She knows what's out there.
I want to see at her office, which is at the Daily Center. I want to see. I want to be like Blues Brothers. I want FBI agents on strings coming down the sides of the building, kicking the windows in, going into her office, pulling all the guns. That's what I want. I want her taken into custody. And I would like her to answer questions to federal investigators as to how the hell this happened. What did she know? When did she know it? When did she recuse herself? Recuse light. It's like the recuse.
Quasi recuse.
Right. It's just sort of a half of a recusal.
Sort of a recuse.
I'm building a wall around myself. I like to see the wall. Build that wall. I want to see what it is.
Are there slats in the wall?
Yeah. Can we see through the wall?
Sure. Is it concrete?
Can we stand over the wall? What did you know?
Is it 3-foot wall? Kind of look over it?
Did you tell anybody? Did you ever once say one freaking word to somebody about this case after the recusal? Did you get on the phone with somebody? Did you text somebody? I would like her phone records taken. I would like to find out every human being she spoke to
and
for
who
the
they
last
spoke to.
4 weeks.
And who they spoke to.
They're taking a look, Ro, says the president.
We're going to look real hard into it. But he never means that. And I don't, and you know, it's really not up to him to call. I mean, that's the thing. Jesse, if he goes after Jesse personally, then Jesse wins.
That's true. But if he goes after the office of the attorney general to try to, if Kim Fox to try to understand happened there, that's different.
Right. I'd like to know. I think it's worth looking into. But we don't, I don't know.
Well,
all right.
It's several people reporting, including ABC, that that's happening. But we'll see. The feds never confirm that stuff.
All right, that's true. They don't. They just, the next thing you know, they're putting up butcher paper in her office.
What's going on?
She and Ed Burke are, they're sitting in an office somewhere, and they're like, hey, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? I just got back from an Oscar party. What are you doing here? Maybe she's going to a Tony's party in New York this spring. We can drag her out of that. All right.
Where are we?
I don't know. Oh, here we
go.
Yep.
Number three.
During his monologue last night, Jimmy Kimmel talked about a survey of the purchase habits of people who shop online while they're drunk.
11% of intoxicated shoppers said they bought cars. What do you think? You ordered an Uber and said you leased a mid-sized SUV? And 12% of shoppers bought pets while drunk. And that's drunk. I mean, that's if you ever wake up and say, where the hell did all these gerbils come from?
Amazon is dangerous after you've been drinking, that's for sure. Especially with the one-click buy thing, you know, they have. Makes it real convenient.
BWI is what they call that.
You get a package in the mail, like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
What did I order?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I cannot tell you how many times that has happened to me.
Dumbest things.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest things.
It's always the same thing for me. It's the same.
Shoes.
Yeah. I get an email. See, Adidas sees me coming.
Mm-hmm. They know.
They know, and they hit me like it's like my
the
phone.
Right time.
The phone smells the alcohol, and
all of a
I'm like,
you got ads popping up everywhere.
Don't doubt it. In this tech age, I'm sure it has a smell test.
I lie in bed. I lie down, and I'm like, before I even turn on the TV, I'm like, all right, let's check my emails. See if there's anything important going out of the world, and then the first one is Adidas. 80s icons back on sale, and I like click on the link, and then boom, my app pops up, and there it is, and there's some beautiful superstar that is like that's got some sort of stitching on it, and it's like it's got. I had this when I was 16. I can't even remember. Oh, it's great! I love it. And then I'm buying, and I go on the app, and I'm buying that. And then they go, if you like this, you'll like that. And they know exactly what I'm doing. It is just, and then the next thing, you know, boxes show up, and it's and it's ill fitting, like sweatpants, a garish Adidas trifoil T-shirt, and 14 pairs of shoes. And then I got to sit around and go, I got to send that back now.
Yeah, they are so dialed in on the whole ad thing.
They are.
It's scary. To like RoCon around 12:30 on Friday night.
Exactly.
After a few cocktails, loves to purchase a nice.
Well, and thanks to this conversation, now next time I look at Instagram, I'm going to be seeing Adidas shoes all over the page because our phones are listening.
Right.
Oh goodness.
That's really true. All right. He's 100% right. Checking in at
number two.
Okay, a missed fish taco special sent a customer into a racist tirade at an Anaheim, California restaurant. Security video caught the man shouting at a Palapas taco cashier after being told he couldn't order the $1.99 Friday fish taco deal on Monday.
Oh. You don't want that fish, trust me.
Right. When the the cashier points out a sign explaining that the deal's for Fridays. You see, the whole idea, it's like it's Lent. See what we're doing here? It's like a deal for Lent.
For Friday.
For Friday.
Alliteration.
Today is Monday. Hmm. Oh, and this guy would not have it.
It says in Mexican. We're not in Mexico. We're in America. This is America, not Spanish. So what? I'm an American.
I couldn't hear you.
Huh?
I couldn't hear you.
That's all right. I didn't want to scream. I'm going to call. Who are you doing? What you doing?
Who are you going to call?
Huh?
Who are you going to call?
Immigration.
For what?
For you.
Why?
Because you're not legal.
Oh, okay.
You're not legal.
Yeah, legal. By the way, I'm just sitting here trying to have a fish fry and buy Adidas shoes.
Like the drunken uncle on Thanksgiving. Yes. Somebody brings like a Mexican boyfriend home. Call immigration on this kid. Who the hell did you bring to my dinner?
This isn't Spanish.
This isn't Spanish. What?
There are going to be 13,000 of those people at a rally in Grand Rapids, Michigan tonight. Oh my God.
Are you going to root for Jesse Smollett for Saturday's NAACP Awards ceremony? He's nominated, bro. I just want to make sure you know about that.
Jesse! Wait, the owner of the Palapas Tacos says that maybe the guy was just having a bad day or dia.
So my cashier, she was really shaking when he left. She was like scared. Since he got in, he was like in a bad mood. He was like acting aggressive. He was like not having a good day.
Oh boy, poor guy had to deal with that.
See, nice now, what I'd like to know right here is where that boy come from. That doesn't sound like he's talking American to me. What in the hell is that? Now, all of a sudden, he's going to get on the news, and he's going to tell everybody exactly what we should be doing here in America. Now, what the hell's happening to our country? I want to build a wall just like that Kim Fox built a wall around herself. I'm going to build a wall around myself, and I'm going to get my Friday fish fried tacos on a Tuesday if I want to, because this is the damn United States of America.
What are you going to call?
Immigration.
Ignorant.
Oh, God. All right, well, this is where we are.
It's where we are.
Everybody,
in the world.
Everybody's an a-hole now. It's the thing. Why? See, the thing is, you could do whatever you want. You could do or say whatever you want, and there are no consequences. The consequences last like for 2 days, except around here. You do or you say something wrong around here, look out. Trap door opens up, and it's goodbye. And finally,
number one. Time now for Powell's Howl. The ravings, rantings, and occasionally incoherent babble.
It
it's kind of a big deal.
Of Kevin Powell.
How dumb does Jussie Smollett think we all are?
You big dummy, see what you did?
That's really what has me fired up about this. Jussie, you are not the victim here. The people of Cook County, the people of Chicago are. You've wasted the time of hardworking police officers. You've wasted thousands of tax dollars. You've embarrassed Chicago. You're an arrogant, smug Hollywood hack. Stop acting like some victim who's leading a movement.
You suck, you jackass.
We all know what happened here. You filed a false report for personal gain and fame, and your people worked some sort of backroom dealing and got the charges dropped. And that's the thing. The state's attorney says the charges have been dropped, but that does not exonerate you, Jussie.
Come on, man.
Then you go ahead and do exactly what got you into this trouble in the first place. You stood in front of reporters and you lied. Again. It's arrogance on steroids. It's insulting. You've attempted to take a shortcut in life, a shortcut to becoming some prominent voice for African Americans, a leader in the gay community. But you've done nothing but stand on the backs of those who are really fighting and working for positive change. You're an embarrassment. This is a slap in the face. You've manufactured hate and anger in a time. There's already way too much of it.
You're not a nice person.
Jussie Smollett, you are a complete ass.
The top five at five.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Hit it, sweetheart.